Lesson 66 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off last time in verse 3, so we'll go to chapter 5, verse 3, and verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks." We left off last time. I was saying, you know, Paul says in verse 3, let it not be once named among you. And we broke this down in the last several lessons. But he's talking about the fact that there's a danger in becoming adjusted or tolerated a sin. You can get you can get adjusted to that. And when you do that, you become neutralized, and it becomes to get a foothold in your life. I want you to get some passages here. Psalms chapter 101. 2 Peter chapter 2 and James chapter 1. And you can get neutralized on this thing. I'm going to move this over here. It's when sin gets a hold of you. The things that go in your body, these two verses that we're going to look at in Psalms and Peter, those verses along the line of what you should not look at. And the things that goes through your holes in your body will determine what you are, what you eat, what you breathe, what you see, what you hear. They'll determine who you are and what you are. What you see, what you hear, what you eat. You know what I'm talking about? When you're the lust of the flesh, we broke that down before. The things will change you are the people you meet and the books you read. Many of you are readers in here, and you read all kinds of books. And does that matter how you think on some things sometimes? Sure. Yes, it does. The books you read better be what? Denzel mentioned that earlier. You better be reading your Bible, hadn't you? You know, that the book. You don't read books about the books. I've got books about the books all in on my shelves. But I always go back to the book. And that's where you should start some things and know some things. You better be reading it. Because if you isn't, it will pull you down into the world. It will pull you down in society. It will pull you down in your knowledge. And you don't want something to pull you down, but you rather want something to what? Build you up. You know, that's why we come here to edify one another in a local church. You want people, you want to meet people that you... The people that you meet, you want to be the right kind of people, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've run around with some wrong type of people in my life. I really have. But that's not the issue here, because the issue is you need to have right people around you now. And I think that once you know who you are in Christ, you want to be associated with the right people. Not politically, you know, not socially, but for the doctrine. And you don't want to be with a companion of fools. Fool's not a good thing to be around, are they? No. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. How would you like to be hooked on something that's bad? It can happen, can't it? I mean, get hooked on something bad, and that's what it's saying here. You know how it starts? It starts with a look, just a little look, a little glance. Then it starts getting bigger, and it starts with a sip or a puff, or then with a lie. See how it builds on one another? And it starts with just one thing and then goes to another. You do it, then you get adjusted to it, and then you do it again. And you look around like, nobody caught me. God didn't burn me yet. You know, you know what I thank God for? We're in the dispensation of grace, guys. God is long-suffering. He's not coming down here and spanking us and correcting us in our walk. He expects us to walk the way we're supposed to be walking because you read the book. you get involved with the book, the doctrine. And that's where we're at in the book of Ephesians. There's time, and you do it time after time and time, and the situation goes, because the wages of sin is what? Death. If you don't think that's true, you're lying to yourself. Now, you're saved, okay? That's forever settled. But if you continue in doing the things that you was doing before you were saved, it's going to bring death. Whether you realize it or not, it breaks your body down, it breaks your mind down, it breaks who you are in Christ, it breaks your witnesses down. And you do it and it kills you. Sin is always deadening. It really is. What is sin? Anything short of what? The glory of God. The book of Hebrews, you'd be turning to James, the book of Hebrews tells us there's a pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And it does not last. You do it, and it stimulates, becomes a waver and wanes away. And guess what? Little, grows, and then it becomes a part of you. I look at my bank out there in front of my house. I planted some flowers for my mother, you know, down in Virginia. And she had a bank similar, but a big high, and she always kept it weeded. Well, you know, haven't weeded it this year. And the weeds has taken over those flowers. That's like sin. It will take it over. So what do I got to do? Weed it. You know, I got to get down there. I actually have to get down there with my hands, because I took the spray and it seemed like it fed it more. You know, I'm like, whoa, it's supposed to kill these things, but it didn't. So I'm going to have to get down there and get on my hands and pull it out and do away with them. But the thing is, it grows and grows and grows. Then it begins to deaden away, and then it dies away. And again, it brings it right back again. You know, so some of us gets in those situations like, hey, I don't want to do it no more. And it dies, and guess what? It pops back up again. But James chapter 1. In any type of sin, it starts out very little. You know that? Very little. And you look at a passage that you need to know how to use. And James chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of who? God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." God never tempts any man to do something wrong. So when you hear that out there, God, you know, God tempted me to do this and see if I'm being tested, that's a lie. God will never tempt us to do wrong. He always wants us to do right. We choose to do wrong. Mm-hmm. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of, you should underline that, his own lust and enticed. You know what it is when you draw away your own lust? Many of you know what I'm talking about. The answer is your old sin nature. That's what drives you. Like, that's what pulls you away, that old, his own lust. I don't care what you guys do. It's all about me and what I want. See, your own lust. And so you mark it down and don't blame it on anybody else but who? Yeah. There's many times, I'm sure, we'd look at situations like, you know, it's his fault. You know, I was training this week, probably about the 15th guy this year. And, you know, young like boy, driving around. You know, he's a passenger. And I get a call. Don't let them log in. And my mind's thinking, okay, what do I need to know about this guy? Mm-hmm. And boss said, there's no need for you to know. Just don't let them do this stuff. Well, you know, in my old nature, I'm wanting to pry and poke and prod, but I know what's going on. He's failed something. You with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you can't let him do anything. Well, that old nature of his, and I was listening to him and, you know, putting two and two together and all that stuff, things just didn't add up. So, make a long story short, That old nature got a hold of him and it followed him. That old nature can get a hold of us and follow us in our daily lives. You know, last night my beautiful wife called me. And I just woke up from a nap on that chair. You ever notice that? You have your Bible and you're studying a little bit. And you know, and you just, you fall asleep. And then you wake up and you're like, you know, because you know you shouldn't have fell asleep.
Yeah.
Or you know you should have done. And a phone call rings and she said, "How are you doing?" And I'm grouchy, you know. And yeah, and you know, I'm like, "What are you defending this?" And then, you know, when you're back and forth, I'm like, you know, she said, "You just woke up, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And, you know, she's waiting on me to apologize. And you know how some guys don't apologize, you know that? And you know, so I'm learning, I'm reading, I'm learning things. Why is it all the jokes referring to wives are always right? You ever notice that? The guys are never right, and they always assume the women's right. And I'm learning that. That it's best to just go ahead and agree with them, you know, instead of you holding your ground and saying, no, because what happened, it keeps feeding it, don't it? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they're like, okay, you're right for a season. But make a long story short, it's that sin nature. You can't blame on nobody but yourself. You really can't. And I've learned that over the years. You know, when people want to justify, when I get pulled over by a police officer doing 70 and a 55, I know what I did, and the first thing I say, "Yes, sir, I was speeding." You know how easy sometimes that can be, but you know how hard it is to admit. You know what they asked you? Do you know the reason why I pulled you over? They want to know if you know, and if you say, "Yes, sir, I was speeding." If you say, "I have no idea," that don't look good. You know, that don't look good. Because it's telling him that you have no idea what you're doing in this vehicle. But the thing is, you are drawn away of his own lust and entice. You begin to think about it, and then you begin to mull it over in your mind, and then you contemplate on it. It's a process, guys. And I know we realize that. We just don't, boom, it happened. No, you think about some things and you start working through some things and it builds. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, when the ideal comes up, you entertain it, you decide you're going to do it for now, then it comes in and you entertain it and contemplate it, and when you do it, you begin to develop that mental attitude towards sin. It starts with that thought. And when you conceive it, you decided to do it. And then it becomes sin. I think every one of us is mature enough to realize that in sometimes in our life it happens that way. Whether, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, well, anything could be sin, right? You know, was it some faith without sin? You know, anything outside of faith is sin? You know, that type of thing. So when you, verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?
Death.
Wages of sin is death. It's going to take you. And, you know, people say, "Oh, you smoke. You're a sinner." What if you smoke and you're taking deadly carbon dioxide in your body, what's going to happen to your body? Go kill it, right? When you drink poison spirits, or what we used to call them, familiar spirits or spirits, you know, you ever wonder why they say that? Because when you're doing that, it can take you to another place. You know, you don't or drugs or anything. It don't necessarily have to be that. It could be just your mind thinking outside of the Word of God. And I'm thinking very serious about the Word of God rightly divided and how you need to stand even more so today, and how people's getting lured away and they're being sucked away with winds of doctrines and sucked away with other doctrines, and they think it's okay. You know, that's scary, guys. It's very scary. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't you make the mistake about it. It's a mistake to think you can get away with sin. Sin is absolutely, totally impossible to satisfy. You ever thought about that? You can't satisfy it. You can't. You want more. You want more. You keep getting involved, then you stop. And you know, I smoked cigarettes, I dipped snuff, I chewed tobacco, I did it all. And the hardest thing many of you know this, hardest thing I did is try to quit snuff. I enjoyed that. You know, it was a pleasure, one of the few pleasures I had in life at the time. You know, you go to sleep with it and it's running down your jaw. You know, it's just, you wake up like, oh man, that was good. Then you think about, okay, I've got to stop that because they're putting fiberglass in it to keep my lip tore up, to keep the nicotine in it. So what I do, I put that down and went to cigarettes. Oh, that was so good. And still today, I get around people. I don't allow smoking in my tractor, you know, but they do. I do. People smoke. And sometimes they'll light a cigarette up and you smell it and you're like, that smells good. That must be a Marlboro, a Virginia brand, not a Winston, a North Carolina brand. You know, and then some of them stinks. You ever notice?
It's
there you go, a Kentucky brand or something. But look, the thing is, Paul says you are children of what? We're children of light. And you're supposed to live like you know and understand something about sin. I think we do. And I'm preaching to myself here, guys, too. You know, I can sit back there and we all look up this way, you know, but I'm serious. And the thing is, you don't make a mistake about it. It's totally impossible to satisfy it and demands more and more until you finally it controls you and it binds you and it runs you. Hey, it can do a believer like that. You're not immune to it. We know, hey, this sinner, he's a sinner. We know what's got a hold of him. But Paul says you're children of light. And the illustration about a thread around your fingers. You ever put a piece of thread around there? You put one on there, like, click, look at me, Superman. Then you start binding them more and more and more. You ever try to break it away? It's hard, isn't it? You can't. And that's how sin can get a hold of you. You can't break away from it. It's like chains. It's binding you down. You remember the passage in James 1. Sin always brings forth death. And it's impossible to satisfy. It's impossible. And it goes a little and it dies and it demands a response from the flesh. And the response becomes progressively harder to get. I believe wholeheartedly that the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is living in the soul of the believers. The same Holy Spirit. And we can say, stop. I believe you can. I can stop eating that, or I can stop drinking that, or I can stop seeing that, I can stop being who I am in the flesh. I believe we have the power to do that. You may not think it, but I know you. How many times do you allow your body to tell your mind what to do? It should be the other way around. Your mind should tell your body no. I'm learning that through some extra activities I'm doing with, you know, CrossFit type of thing, that you pick up something, you're like, I can't do that. Hey, coach, I'm going to go down to level 2. He goes, no, you're level 3, Ed. You can do this. It's going to be hard to pick it up, but once you get it up, you know what to do. And he's so right because it's right here. How many likes to run? How many likes? None of us like to run. So you know what? When you're a marathon runner, from my understanding, you have to train your mind to run a mile. And I was told the other day that when you train your mind to run a mile, then you walk a mile. Then you run a mile and you walk a mile. And that walking will let you allow to say, that's not as far as I thought it was. And then eventually you don't walk the half a mile, you walk a minute, and vice versa. But the thing is, you have to train your mind. But the situation that becomes harder and harder, you get into that, and death winds up in destruction, and it will destroy your character. I know many people that's been saved and that they couldn't stop their wants in their flesh. And it destroyed them. Completely destroyed them. Their mind, their body is totally useless with the Word of God today. Paul says, you people are supposed to know something about sin. You can't mess around with it, guys. You can't. It will control you. Proverbs 5:22. On your way to Psalms 101. Proverbs 5:22.
What is it in Proverbs?
Yeah, Proverbs chapter 5:22-23. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. It just binds you like chains. And it drags you down. And it makes you think you're unworthy, don't it? It makes you think of, you know, who am I? You know, or I want more. It begins with that, you know, you stand and say, you know, I'm going to be free. When you do those things, look at me, I'm having liberty. And what it does, you rattle the chains, and after you fall off into the grave with that sin pulling you down, killing you. And that's no liberty in that, are they? The wages of sin is death.
It's something I tell Abby every so often. I said, you know, be careful what you read and what you watch, because once you see something, you can't unsee it.
Yep.
And once that's in there, it's only going to continue to build.
And that's the thing, like the little sip, the little cigarette, the little lie, the little picture, the little thought, the little look. It builds and builds and builds. And I've shared this with you before, that being that young and early, seeing a picture and it's still in my mind. You know, photo, that lens, what you put in that hole. You know, it's a boom. It's like, whoa. You know, that type of thing. It's devastating. Paul says, let it not once be named among you, because it once it were. Because one, it is where it starts. Psalms chapter 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That is what it means when your eyes are to be singled, just looking unto the Lord. You know, we look at books, we read books. You know, a lot of people read all kinds of books. They pick up a book that thick, and 3 days later, it's gone. I'm like, you know, but the thing is, it is the kind of resolution you should have in your own heart, what you look at. What you're picturing. Job said that he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look on a maid. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look, let them dangle out there and maybe offend thee. Means a lot, guys. You know, I always said when I look at a young woman, I'm looking at her as she's my sister. And I always look a woman straight in the eyes. Older woman, I look at it as it's what was that?
Your mom.
You know, you keep that and you're okay. You let your eyes start wandering, guess what? That goes for women too. You know, them thoughts get in your mind. You got to fight that stuff off. There's life, that is the life of conception, and it's totally, let me put it this way. When you keep your eyes on the Lord, and you keep your eyes on the good things, and you keep your eyes on the Word of God, that's a life of total dedication. It takes all our life, and I don't care how strong you think you are, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth can make a drastic change in the things that we do. And grace makes you understand what sin is, doesn't it? You know, we talk about all the time, you know, that, you know, I think we abuse grace. I really do. I think we use grace as an excuse to continue to do the things we do. But grace teaches us. Hold your finger there for a second. I've got to share this with you. Romans chapter 6. What do we know about the first five chapters of Romans? Doctrine for what? Justification. This is where you find out that you couldn't be good enough, you couldn't be religious enough, you can't pay for it, that Christ come and died for your sins, and once you trust that, He justified you, He gave you a right standing in front of God. Right? First five chapters, period. You should get that down. But you think He's smarter than we are? You think He would not know that we got questions upon questions? What if we continue in sin? You think He knows that no matter what we do, we're going to have questions and we're going to try to justify what we want to do? Look at this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does He say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm thinking about that. I'm like, this is not in there for a mistake. So when you are a grace believer and you're saved by grace through faith, you can't, you should not want to continue in that. Because what does it say? God forbid. So God knew the next questions you're going to have once you're saved. What if I continue to do it? God forbid. You don't have to do that. So look at with me at Romans 16:19. So grace makes us understand. It makes you hate it. It makes you and fear it. And not even once be named among you as become a saints. The things that we're looking at in Romans, I mean Ephesians. Do you know what is attractive to saints? Undefeated Cleveland Browns. Undefeated Indians, right? No. What should be attractive to becoming saints? Romans 16:19, and you. And you'll see what becometh the saints and what reflects God's attitude. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad they're forth on your behalf, but yet I would have you, what does it say? You wise unto that which is good and simple concerning what? Evil. Do you know how much you should know about evil? You shouldn't know anything about evil. You with me? You shouldn't want to know. You should want to know what is good. You should know nothing, zip. It shouldn't know anything about evil. Now, I know you turn on TVs and you see an evil world, don't you? Yeah. I know you turn on TVs and you see evil preachers preaching. You know? You see all kinds of stuff. But you shouldn't want to know about that. You know, I talked to Sherry yesterday, and I said, do you see what's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia? And she goes, no, I haven't even turned on the TV. And it's just like a refreshing, because she didn't know. So if you didn't know, you know, where your thoughts and minds going to be? It's going to be on who you are in Christ. And we know there's an evil world out there, no matter if it's Charlottesville or Canton. Things are like that's going to happen. But look, when somebody comes up and starts talking about, and we do this all the time, movie stars and all that stuff, what should you know about these people?
Yeah. Who is that?
Yeah, there you go. Because you know what? Because we're feeding them. Hey, I like a movie, just the same as, you know, I like certain movie stars. You know what I'm talking about. But what should we really know about these people when it's evil? Because it's something to think about, guys. And when somebody comes up and starts talking about the things of this world, you should know nothing about it. But wise unto them which are good and simple concerning evil. Now, I know we get involved in watching politics and stuff like that. But have you ever thought what that does to you? This past election thing, I don't know about you guys, it was tearing me apart. It tore some of us apart. You know, thinking one was good or bad, good over the other. Gooder. And you know, and all that stuff.
I didn't watch it.
No. Maggie don't watch that stuff. You know?
Not political stuff.
So what does it do? It drags you. Listen, this race thing, and I'm you know, not my opinion, there's somebody out there causing this to keep it stirred up. And if you're not smart enough, just leave it alone. Get involved with the grace message. Grace is not a race message. When Paul says there's no distinction between bond free, male, female, Jew, Gentile, isn't that a category that we're all put in? And this grace message is not a race message, but it's one that liberates you. And if you can get somebody saved out of that, and get their mind off of that and get it in a book, you'll see a difference in who you are and you see a difference in the world right now. There's people out there that just don't want this message out there. And Ephesians 5:3, I'm going to go a few more minutes here, guys. Just bear with me. I know last week I kept you for 53 minutes. And that clock's on the wrong side of the room. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
That clock's on the wrong side of the room. No, it should be back there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But at least when you look up, I think you're looking at me. So. But look, 5:3 says, when Paul says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, when he says he's not to talk about it, he means you can't mess around with sin and win. This is what he's talking about. You can't mess around with it, guys. And a child of God understands that, and he knows something about sin. That's why I say you have a power to say, I don't want to do that. And you have something, you get your mind on something different, and you won't do that. But you got to be careful because you'll substitute stuff, right? Ephesians 5:4 says, those things are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You're not to be involved in sin, but once are not once to name it. Instead, you give it what? Give thanks to God. You be thank, Lord, I thank you, I'm not into stuff. And one of the marks of being filled with the Spirit is giving thanks always. That's Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to get ready to close here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. It has to do with dwelling on what you have in Christ. And you are filled with that, you are saturated with that, and what God has given you, and all that other stuff will pass away. You should try it sometime. Try not to think, you know, bad thoughts. Try not to think, you know, when somebody calls you, you know what they're going to say. Just relax and just think about something positive. You know, we're surrounded with negative people all the time. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many positive phone calls do you get or people you talk to when you're doing your job? It's hard to suck it out of, I don't want to say suck it out, but pull it out of kindness. How many gets phone calls from a salesman and wants to sell you this and you actually listen to it instead of hanging up? You ever did that? And say, you know something, I appreciate you calling, but I'm not interested. Please remove me from your... Yeah, it makes their day too. Like, wow, I had a nice guy. I actually talked to somebody that didn't hang up on me. You know, that type of thing. What is the middle middle letter of sin again? And that I will destroy gratitude, guys. And it's selfishness, which is the opposite of gratitude. And when I think about me, it just brings... It just destroys what we are building. Because it's not about me. It's about the Word of God. It's about the message that's being portrayed and out of the Word of God. And sin in your life destroys gratitude. Now, we can sit down there and give lip service to God all day long. Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you for this meal. You know, thank you for this. But do you really mean it? The gratitude that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we once again think about we're children of light and not of darkness, we're so grateful for that. And as we continue to grow in the book of Ephesians, we hope it be able to line our souls up to where you are at. In the Word of God, rightly divided. In His name we pray. Amen.